My son, give me thine heart. He just wants your heart. You know, we try to figure out all these different things and know if I could just give this and do this and do, and we want to build buildings and we want to give, and oh God, if you'll just give me money, I'll do this. And I do that someday, but you know what, here's what he wants. He wants your heart. He can take care of all the other, he just wants your heart. That's the thing you can give him, and I hope you will do that. And you know, the choir, that song, and I like Craig saying, whew, you know, because let the joy begin. Amen. I get so frustrated. People say, well, you need to calm down, Christian. No, you need to get excited, Christian. Honestly, I'm so frustrated. You know, we'll watch a stupid ball game and get all bent out of shape and excited about that and yell and scream and holler, and we throw things at the TV and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we can't get excited about the birth of our Savior. We can't get excited about, you know, the fact that God came down to this earth to live a perfect life and die on a cross to pay for our sins. We ought to get excited, but tell your face, it'll be okay. Amen. Well, it's Sunday morning, we're supposed to be dignified. Well, you can be dignified and rejoice. Amen. Just smile. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, anyway, enough of that. The Bible here, Luke 1, verse 26, it's an intriguing passage you know, the miracle of Christmas. The sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And of course, Joseph and Mary, we know the story. Again, the Christmas story is one of those stories. I mentioned this in Sunday school class. You know, all the things God uses, they're all things that seem kind of insignificant. Things we kind of take for granted. The star, we see stars all the time, don't pay a whole lot of attention to them, and yet there's the star, a stable. Stable seems like something that probably was not on the list of things to do in Bethlehem. Go visit the stable, this is a great place. Probably not. And, you know, all those things, the shepherds, they're out there, they're the lowliest job that there was, and yet that's what God uses to show us what happened on that day. And here we have Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary, just common folks. And yet, the God of heaven is going to come down as a little baby, and somebody's going to be his parents. Huh. Joseph and Mary. And Jesus would leave heaven's glory and all its perfection, and he would come down to a wicked earth, and with all of its sin and all of its shame and everything, and he is going to live somewhere. Where is he? He's going to live in the home of Joseph and Mary. And I want to talk to you about Jesus' earthly parents this morning, and another part of the Christmas story that we sometimes don't think a lot about, Jesus' earthly parents. Father, please bless the preaching today. Thank you for the music and just a good spirit today. Thank you for the weekend and the shepherd's party and all that has happened, Lord, the teen activity and just so many things. We want to bring honor and glory to you. Help us to do it now through the preaching of thy word, I pray. And if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, as we talk about the birth of Jesus, may he be born in the heart of someone today as they come to Christ and they confess and get right with God and get saved. Please save someone today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about Jesus' earthly parents this morning. Of course, we know Jesus was born to die. We know that he was born to live a perfect life on this earth. But what about the couple that God chose? And I want to, you know, I hate to just pass over that. God chose them to rear Jesus, to take care of him, to watch over him, to make sure he's taught right, to make sure he watches the right things and listens to the right things and make sure he goes to the right places and make sure as he's grown up he's under the right teaching. Are you listening to me? I mean, honestly, have you ever thought, Mom and Dad, God chose you? You know, we somehow get this idea, well, you know, God gave us kids. No, he gave your kids parents. And just as God chose Joseph and Mary, God chose us. You know, you're a teacher today. God chose you for a class. God chose you to be over some people. God chose you to influence somebody. You're a bus captain. God chose you to influence some children. I mean, whatever it is, let's understand that God's plan, and God has a plan when he chooses, but God uses clean vessels. And let's remember that as we think about your vessels today in your cabinet and in your kitchen sink, maybe that big pile of things in the kitchen. I know no woman here has that, but let's remember that very, very rarely do we, now a man might do this, but a woman certainly would never do this. Would you reach down in your kitchen sink and that which was used last week, you would pull that bowl out and put food in it and you... No. We don't use dirty things. Well, God is looking for some clean folks he'd like to use. And Mary and Joseph, you know, I realize because of Catholicism, we've made Mary the mother of God. That is foolishness. Amen. It's okay to say amen here. It's a Baptist church. It's all right. But it's foolishness. Mary, she's like anybody. Joseph, just like anybody here. Mary, just like a mother, any mother here in this room. Joseph, a man, just like any other man. And Jesus would be reared by Joseph and Mary in their home. They would be in charge. So what kind of people were they? And really, I just have the 2 points this morning. First of all, Mary, and then secondly, Joseph. And I just want to kind of look at that and challenge you today as parents, as leaders, as teachers, as being an influence over other people. Would God use you? I've read this many times, and I've thought, I wonder if God would look at our home and if he would have sent his son to our home. Ooh, you know. Would he send his son to your home? Again, Mary and Joe, they're just like us. And so I want to talk about that. First of all, let's look at Mary. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, we certainly have, and we just read a passage about Mary. But Mary herself describes herself, gives her testimony in her song here in verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Again, Luke 1, verses 46 and 47, I just read, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And here we have the testimony of Mary, and the first thing I see about Mary is she was saved. Now, I know, you know, Catholicism, oh, she's the mother of God. She's right up there equal with... No. She was a human being who sinned, who was a sinner, who needed to be saved. Amen? Mary was saved. She said, "And my spirit hath rejoiced..." What'd she say here? "In God my Savior." God my Savior. Mary realized, she wouldn't want to be worshipped by anybody. She knew who she was. She talks about the low estate of his handmaiden. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she needed to be saved. She was saved. We need mothers to be saved. Amen? The best kind of a mother in all the world is a saved, born again, on her way to heaven kind of a mother. Amen? And she was saved. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." She was saved. She had the Lord as her Savior. By the way, you cannot do anything. God is not going to use you for his glory if you're not saved. Now, he used many unsaved people to accomplish things that we know about Pharaoh and all those, and God certainly could do that. But I mean to do something that will bring honor and glory to him, you need to be saved. You ought to be saved. You ought to realize your need for Christ. You ought to realize you're a sinner and realize that that is exactly why Jesus came. He came to be the Lamb of God, to die on a cross, to be the sacrifice, to pay for our sins. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can be saved today. We can know we're going to heaven today. Well, that's what it's all about, folks. Honest. That's why I'm rejoicing today. I don't know what happened to you. But when I got saved, I got saved. And there's joy in my salvation. There's joy in knowing I'm going to heaven. And I can tell you this, as Mary is rejoicing with her cousin here, she's rejoicing because she knows he's her Savior. She knows she needed to be saved. You wouldn't talk about a Savior unless you knew you needed a Savior. And Mary was a saved mother. And praise the Lord for that. But you know, secondly, she was surrendered. I love it. I love this, honestly. You know, look back at Luke 1 and verse 27. Luke 1, verse 27. Notice what it says here. First three words to a virgin. It's okay. I know what I'm talking about here. It's all right. To a virgin. Well, you can't even talk about that nowadays because there aren't too many. Amen. Hollywood, they've taken all that away from us. The media's taken all that away. But more than anything, we have taken it away. We don't talk about it. We don't, you know, well, you know, everybody needs to do what God says. And we need virgins today. Amen. Oh, I understand. Listen to me. She was a surrendered young lady. I want you to just go back to that day and put it into today. By the time Mary was 12, 13, 14, she'd already been pawed by boys. She'd already made out with boys. And probably by 12, 13, 14, she'd already committed immorality with somebody. That's today. Or you say, preacher, you're talking about the non-church. No, I'm talking about churched. Well, why not? You got it on your TV over and over and over. It's in the music over and over and over. Come on, folks. I know it's Sunday morning. It'll be okay. Thank God. I mean, honestly, we don't even read this about Mary if she's not surrendered. We don't read it about Mary if she's not saved. But she also needed to be surrendered. Amen. The Bible says the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Listen to me, she's blessed because God could use her because she kept herself pure. Oh, I say this all the time. When they walk down that aisle and that fella's standing up here and he's watching, and I've counseled with them and they have not touched, amen. That should have gotten an amen or two anyway. And he knows that that woman has saved herself for him. And he stands there. Well, there's nothing like it in all the world. And when they come up here and they kiss for the first time and it's a little awkward, they kind of bump into each other, not sure what to do, I just stand up here and say, hallelujah. Amen. These professionals, I often wonder how many lips they have kissed anyway. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent, but I'm allowed to. Amen. She was surrendered. She was a virgin. Amen. That's how God could use her. Now, the Bible says she was a spouse to Joseph. That means that they had had a ceremony whereby they were joined together, but physically they had not come together. And we have many verses. She said in verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That means she had not been physically with a man. She was a virgin. Amen. And the Bible explains exactly how she became with child. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee." And people say, well, that can't happen. With God, all things are possible. And it did happen just like God said. Amen. And wow. Well, it's an exciting thing. But I got news for you. It would not have happened if she hadn't been surrendered. I wonder how many young ladies and young men rob themselves of what God has for them because they are not pure, because they have not kept themselves pure. I wonder how many young ladies miss out on the right guy and end up marrying dud after dud after dud after dud because they would not keep themselves pure. I'm just throwing that out there. It's a commercial. Call it what you will. But I'm telling you this, Mary was saved and Mary was surrendered. Phooey on the worldly garbage of the day that says that a young person cannot stay pure till they're married. Phooey. There ought to be more amen in than that. It's like, well, I'm afraid what my wife might say. All right. Anyway, saved, surrendered. What else was she? She was sensitive. She realized her low estate, verse 48, he hath regarded the lowest. She knew what she was. She knew that though she had kept herself pure and she had done right, she knew that she was a sinner. She knew that compared to what God wanted and his holiness and his perfectness, she knew her weaknesses. You know, as a Christian, we need to know our weaknesses. We need to know how God deals with us. We need to know the sin which does so easily beset us. We want to compare ourselves with each other. We need to say, God, show me. That's what I preached last week. Show me, God. Reveal to me. Search me. Try me. Show me. Reveal to me. I want to be sensitive when God speaks to my heart, when I'll get right with God. She knew her weaknesses. She knew what she needed to do in her life. And, the whole thing is a matter of, as it says in Romans, of yielding to God. Just yielding. God, however you speak to me, I'll get it right. If God knows you'll get it right, he'll show you. He'll show you. She was saved. She was surrendered. She was sensitive, but she was also sensible. Amen. She knew some things about God, and she believed those things about God. And notice in verse 49, she understood his blessings. In verse 49 of Luke chapter 1, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. She understood what God had done. Again, you know, I don't think Mary was taught that we all evolved from a protoplasm that leaped out of the water one day. I don't think Mary thought about any of that kind of stuff. I think Mary understood that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I think Mary understood there was a God that did everything. And she was sensible about, you know what? Here's what God has done for me. God has provided these things for me. God has done this for me. God has blessed me. We live in a society today where it's all about, well, look what I've done. Right. It's time for us to recognize what he's done. That's just being sensible, folks. It's just being sensible. For us to somehow think, seriously, for us to somehow think we can control the climate. How silly. Right. I know. Oh, I'm so glad they signed that thing. Come on. God is God. God is in control. And God has the ability to bless, and God has the ability to take away the blessings. Droughts come and droughts go, and floods come and floods go. And some years we're saying, oh God, take away the snow. And other years, you know, we're saying, we want a white Christmas. And God's still God in all of it. Amen. Amen. She recognized what, you know, look what God's done to me. By the way, here's somebody, you know, she's talking about, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. She's not talking about a new car. And she's not talking about a brand new home. We're talking about a lady who's going to go to Bethlehem and she's going to give birth in a stable. We're not talking about lots and lots of money. We think that's the big thing. Mary was sensible. She realized, you know, whatever God's given me, it's wonderful. Amen. You can remember our missionary, Brother Denias, talking about Namibia, and he was talking about his new building they were going to build and talking about the area where they were having church in a tent. Hello. And remember, he was showing his little slideshow, and he said, and here is our toilet. And he was so excited. Remember? And, you know, a couple of folks, we just take all that for granted, don't we? Yeah, but you know what he was saying? He was saying, look what God gave us. God gave us a toilet. God gave us a urinal. When's the last time you thanked God for your toilet? I'll tell you what, if you visited an outhouse when it's 20 below zero, I guarantee you would thank God often for your indoor toilet. Anyway, I'm getting off on a lot of tangents today. I'm not sure why. It's got to be something. Must be something I ate yesterday. I don't know. But she was sensible because she realized his blessings. Notice what else she realized, though. She realized his mercy. in verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. How about God's mercy? When's the last time you thank God that he didn't and he hasn't destroyed America? Seriously, come on, folks. I mean, how close are we to Sodom and Gomorrah in our country? I know. We don't like to talk about that. Well, you save that for Sunday night, but you won't be here. But when is the last time we just thank God that he let us have another day? Isn't that wonderful? He let us run the buses one more time. Isn't that great? We got to have our shepherd's party one more time. Don't know what we'll be able to do next year. Right? But we got to. You know what? In a few minutes, we'll have an invitation one more time, and you'll be able to come and kneel at an altar and pray, and there won't be somebody up here with a sword to cut off your head. Isn't that nice? You wouldn't have to worry about your hair. Anyway, so much for that. What about the mercy of God? Do you know Christians today are all over our world and they're out in a field somewhere? They're in a wood somewhere? They're hiding somewhere? There are Christians in countries, other countries, that love God every bit as much as we do. They sang songs today. They heard the Bible. They'll hear preaching today, but they'll be taken away by guards. And they'll be put in prison. Or they'll be killed. How about when you walk out the doors today, you thank God for his mercy. His mercy. And you'll get in your car. Some of you will already have it started and it'll be warm. And if you don't, it's warm anyway. Oh, his mercy. And then she also was sensible because she recognized his power. In verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, his power. His power. You know, she recognized how powerful God is. And you know, as Christians, we ought to rejoice. I mean, you know, if you're one of these people, I call them worry warts, you know. And you just, oh, I don't know what. How about the power of God? The power of God. Oh, you know, this is going on and that's going on in our world. And oh, it's getting closer to here, you know. And we hear about Dearborn. Oh, they're coming after us. You know what, God, they're not going to do anything God's not going to allow. Nobody is. Oh, the power of God. Mary realized that. Again, what kind of home would Jesus grow up in? Well, he grew up in a home where the mom was saved. The mom was surrendered, the mom was sensitive, and the mom was sensible. And she understood what this book said. By the way, we need a generation, we need generations of people that believe like it. Well, God said it's got to be true. Right. Amen. Quit wondering about those things. Mary, how about the second person in the home, Joseph? Joseph. You know, the Bible talks about Joseph several times. I'm always amazed at Joseph because of all that takes place. If he is not walking with God, are you listening to me? If he's not walking with God, he walks away from her. According to Deuteronomy 24, he could have given her the writing of divorcement because of the terms and everything of where they were in their marriage. I'm just saying, but he doesn't because he's walking with God. Now you listen, we don't like to talk about it. We avoid that, but Joseph, what a man. What a man, what a man that walked with God. Look at Joseph, Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now, I'm not trying to take away from Mary, but I'm going to tell you something. Thank God for Joseph. If he's the average guy today, honestly, this story is different. Amen. It's different. Matthew 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Before they physically came together, she says to him one day, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Are you listening? I've preached about this before, and again, what an amazing, amazing story. Joseph. But God said, here's the kind of home right here. Here's a home where I want my son to grow up in. First thing about Joseph, he was faithful. He was faithful. The Bible says he was a just man. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. He's a man of faith. He's a just man. He's saved, just like Mary was. But he was the head of the family, and the head of Jesus' family would have to be a faithful, just man. Sir, would you be chosen? Would you have been chosen? I can tell you this, God would like to use you as the head of your home and the head of your class and the head of your bus route. Whatever it may be, God would like you to be that person, but you're going to have to be a faithful, a person full of faith. Amen? Amen. Faithful people. A faithful man, a faithful servant, who can find? It was rare in Bible times. Boy, it's more rare. You know what's so fun about all of our activities? All the faithful people. The shepherds' party that we had yesterday, same people, and then some new people who are becoming faithful people. And there they are, you know. There's Paul Hammerstrom down there washing dishes and preparing food. And there's Joanne right there with him. And there's other people, you know, and all the different folks that are faithful. There's Phyllis there, you know, and helping with the shepherds. And she's got on her reindeer horns. And there's her husband, Daryl, in his elf outfit and looking absolutely silly. And you know, here's Glenn Carpenter, who's gotten involved with the shepherd. And there he is, you know, and I'm thinking, boy, when he's old and decrepit, he'll be there working and serving, you know, just because why? It's what we do. That's what we do. And we're going to be faithful at what we do. And that's what Joseph, he was a faithful, faithful man. He was also a fair man. He was a fair man. And again, we go back to verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, which he could have done, totally within the law. He could have thought the worst. Hey, what would you have thought? Well, you know, I just walk with God. No, what would you have thought? And yet he was a fair man. And here's why I say he was fair. You know, because he waited to hear from God. I wonder how many fellas, honestly, pray about things in your life. Pray about the things your wife does before you yell at her. Hello. Go ahead, elbows can fly. No. He waited to hear from God. You know, by the way, that works both ways. Seriously. I saw this strange email in my husband's on his phone, and I, you know, I'm and you called so and so, and you talked to what's her name, and how about this? How about getting on your knees and saying, God, what's this all about? Could you show me what this is all about? I got an email. I can't. I was telling Tim the other day, I can't delete anything. All of a sudden, everything stays. My computer, I'm serious, I think my computer has demonic activity. It things are there to torment me, I'm convinced of it. And I asked Tim, I said, Tim, you know, and everybody always says, well, just shut it off and turn it back on, it'll all, you know, reboot and all that stuff. And I said, Tim, what about kicking it? He said, don't kick it, that doesn't work. So anyway, it's funny, I'm trying to delete all these emails and things, and there was one on there, Russian women. I don't speak Russian. Anyway, but I thought, okay, well, we'll just delete. And I'm trying to delete. And that Russian went, nothing would delete. I couldn't delete anything. I couldn't delete, you know, how to make, I couldn't delete my letter from a Nigerian that was going to give me $20 million. I couldn't delete the newest Zorkbot thing that they were advertising. I couldn't delete how I could get a loan and never have to pay it. Nothing would delete. Some of you are interested in some of those things, right? I'll forward everything to you. I can't even forward anything. I can't get rid of it. But you know, I was thinking, so my wife will walk in, she'll say, you know, Russian women want to meet you. And or something like that. I don't know what it was. But anyway, and now, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to say, God, what is this all about? I know. Well, you know, we are immediately, we'll call everybody up and tell them all about it and ask them, what do you think I should do? How about God? Because Joseph, if Joseph asks all the guys, what do you suppose the guys tell Joseph? Hello? What do you suppose they're going to tell him? They're going to say, Joseph, have you been with her? I mean, that would have been wrong. Have you been with Joseph? Say, no, I never have. And you know what they're going to tell him, right? So that wouldn't have been a good idea to talk to the guys. Wouldn't anyway. Right. Hello. But he waited to hear from God. That's fair. That's fair. You know, before you make a decision, why don't you wait to hear from God? That's the right thing to do. Before you even tell your wife. I have so many things I don't tell my wife. Many things I never end up having to tell my wife. Why? Because God takes care of it. Problems, headaches, trials, issues. She never has to. Some of you guys want to drag your wife into all your problems and everything like that. What is wrong with you? You know, oh, you know, they're talking layoff at work. Well, don't talk to your wife about it. Talk to God about it. It may not happen. I was in Flint, Michigan, pastored there for 5 years, and all 5 years, I mean, the whole time, they're going to lay off. They're going to lay off. When I first got there, I had guys come and say, oh, we're so worried. They're going to lay off. Then their wife would say, I'm so worried. I'd say, how do you know? And they said, well, my husband's all he talks about. You're an idiot, sir. Just take it to God and let God take care of it. And all those guys, for 5 years, they never did get laid off. And their wives worried about it every year, and they wouldn't have had to worry about anything. There's so much stuff God has kept from you because I didn't talk to you about it. I talked to him about it. You never had to worry about it, and I lost hair, and you didn't. And I'm glad. Joseph was fair. Can you imagine her trying to explain that to him? Well, an angel told me that. Yeah. Do you know she couldn't have explained it? Counselors couldn't have explained it. She could have, you know, she could have gone to all kinds of, I counsel a lot of people, and there's no way in the world I could explain that. It's not possible. I'd just look at him and say, Joseph, you know, can you imagine Joseph come, Pastor Rogers, listen, I got a problem here. You know, Mary, my espoused wife, she and I have not been together physically. Well, she's expecting a child. And I'd just go, and he'd say, what should I do? And I mean, honestly, what? Whew. Wow, I've counseled a lot of people. That'd be a tough one. I said, what does she say? She said that the Holy Spirit, an angel told her the Holy Spirit was going to put a child in her. And he's the Son of God. And I'd say, you know, I'm going to get my notes out from college and just see what I was taught, but I don't think there's anything I have in there that covers that. You know what you better do? You better get on your knees. That's the fair thing to do. Us with our accusing fingers. How about, do you know how much trouble you would save yourself if you just ask God first? Amen. Amen. And so that brings me to the next thing, and that is his fellowship with God. He's faithful, he's fair, but he also had fellowship with God. Back in Matthew 1 and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I could just see Joseph, you know, seriously. He doesn't know what to do, but now he knows what to do. Are you listening? It doesn't take away his own flesh and doubt and everything else, but because he walked with God and he sought God, you know what? If he can trust God when things are easy, he can trust God now when things are hard. Amen. Fellas, we must walk with God. I hear it all the time. Oh, the day is so difficult and things are getting bad and the political and all of that is a mess. And it is. It really is. We must walk with God. to know what to do all the time. You know, I mean, well, how are you going to, you know, who are you going to vote for? And what do you think about this? And what, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't have the slightest idea. But he does. He does. Fellowship with God. And then he followed God. He followed God. He was faithful. He was fair. He had fellowship with God, but he followed God. He listened. He did what God said to do. Verse 24, Matthew 1, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. That had to be an amazing, amazing time. As he said, Mary, we're husband and wife, and we're going to do this. He listened to God. Fellas, we need to listen to God. Amen? He followed God. And he was a family man, we find out. Of course, you know, when there was danger, he listened to God. He followed God. Matthew 2, verse 13, when Jesus was born, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him, and forces were out to kill Jesus, and Joseph wanted to take care of his family. He was a leader. Men lead. Amen. By the way, a man that is a leader doesn't have to force leadership. He just leads. He says, follow me. Amen. And, you know, if only men would lead today. By the way, when people ask me who I'm going to vote for, that little statement I just made helps you understand who I'm not going to vote for. Anyway, okay. In verse 19 of chapter 2 of Matthew, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child, his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life, and now everything's safe. And he leads his family again. He just keeps leading because he's walking with God and he knows which way to go. Amen. I have a hat that has two bills on it. And one bill is facing this way and the other bill is facing that way. And it says on there, I am the leader, which way did they go? That's the way a lot of fellows think they're leading. You know, listen, sir, just be a man and lead your family. But it helps to know what you're doing, and the way you know what you're doing is you're walking with God. Amen. Amen. Try to imagine as we approach Christmas Eve, you know, Mary and Joseph are tired and they're weary and the inn's full, and there's a, you know, the innkeeper talks about this stable back here, and literally, all of that is the will of God Almighty. Everything's God's will. The taxing is God's will. It's all God's will. The fact that they're in Bethlehem, it's all God's will. He said they'd be in Bethlehem. God makes it all happen. They're in Bethlehem. We don't hear Joseph complain. Nowhere is it recorded he griped and complained. Mary, the Bible says she's great with child. We remember those days, right, ladies? And we men remember those days too. I still remember my wife saying, honey, rub my back. Don't touch me. I remember it very well. You know? I mean, and Mary, you know, but there they are, and their lives are changed. When the little baby cries, and the Lamb of God, right where he's supposed to be, in a manger, yeah, in a little manger where little lambs are born. Oh yeah, perfect. Everything's just right. Doesn't look too good, does it? You know what? It may not look real good in your house, in your life. Things may not be going the way you planned. Things may not be going, but it may be exactly what God has planned for you. Everything, every part of it, maybe exactly. But if you're not walking with God and close to God, you'll tend to gripe, complain, get bitter. Nowhere in Scripture do we see Mary bitter. Nowhere in Scripture do we see Joseph upset about it. You know, they would go ahead and go through all of that, and then they would see Jesus as he's a young boy. They'll see him discussing Bible truth with religious leaders, and they'll see him doing miracles, and they'll hear about all these different things, And unfortunately, they'll see him hung on a cross and put in a tomb. But they'll see him risen again. Why? Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Hey, let me tell you something. Your child, they're important too. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they're important too. How God could use you, how God would like to use you. Hey, ladies, are you saved? Are you surrendered to God? Are you sensitive to the things of God? Are you sensible about God's word? Fellas, are you faithful? Will you be back tonight to church? Are you faithful to read your Bible? Are you faithful to tithe? Are you fair? Do you wait until you hear from God before you make your decisions? Do you fellowship with God? Do you follow God? Do you care about your family? Thank God there was a couple, Joseph and Mary, and they would rear Jesus in their home. Oh, you know, their home was not perfect, though he was perfect. But they were people that were yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, listen, to God, your child is important. People that you're in charge of, they're important. People you're over, people you lead, they're important. Let's think about this Christmas. Let's kind of think about the Christmas story in this sense of Jesus' earthly parents. Would he have chosen you? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.